Into the Light Ministries is proud to present Your Alarm Call with Reverend Ron Bernier. Now we ask you to sit back and open your mind and your spirit to what God has to say to you on Your Alarm Call.
I believe it. When the Lord said, I am the Lord thy God that supplieth all of thy need. I believe it. When Jesus said, seek ye the expansion, the kingdom of God, and all these things will be given unto you. I believed it. And guess what? It works. God is truthful. If you'll but ask him, he'll do it. But you have to do the prerequisite. You have to live a holy life. You have to live a life of constant repentance. You have to live a righteous life before God. And you have to be obedient unto the Lord. Verse 11, but when the king came in to look over the dinner guests, he saw there a man not dressed in wedding clothes. And he said to him, friend, did you come in here without wedding clothes? And he was speechless. And then the king said to his servants, bind him hand and foot, and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. We invited the good and the bad. They weren't stupid. They're coming. But some of them, most of them, just about all of them, have not repented. They have not changed their life. They are not living righteously. They are not living in holiness. And Jesus said, bind them hand and foot. Cast them into the outer darkness. In case you don't know, that's hell, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. 85% claim to be Christian. But only 15% or less than that, really, probably 2 or 3% are really going anywhere. I'll never forget one time, I'm sure you've all seen it, but I picked up a postcard, and it was supposed to be a postcard of the rapture. And it showed these planes crashing and cars going off the runway, and you know, all sorts of things were happening. Bodies were coming up out of the grave. And I was looking at that postcard, and I was just staring at it, and I thought, wow, Lord, that must be something. And God spoke to my spirit, and he said, my son, don't worry about it. There's so few going, no one will notice. He said, there's so few going, no one will notice. Now, when you hear from God, be me, you, anybody, I don't care who it is, you've got to check it out with the word of the Lord. It has got to line up with this. If it doesn't line up with this, it's not God. That simple. And I started to look in here to see if there was anything said, anything like that. And sure enough, right away the Lord showed me the scripture. The righteous are taken, and no one notices. Look it up, it's in your Bible. The righteous are taken and no one notices. If you took all of the righteous, every one of them, and by the way, the word righteous there is those who are into righteous living and holiness and salvation, they're walking right with God, they're following the Holy Spirit, all of them are taken, 100% of them are taken, and nobody notices it. Nobody notices it. Now, there can't be many of them taken. Either that, or the ones that are taken don't have a friend in the world. Let's face it. If we took 100% of the righteous, holy, living for God Christians, and we took them all at once, who would miss them? Well, let's see, after about a week, the mailbox would get filled with them little pink slips from the bank saying that your checks are bouncing because you're not putting any money in it. Probably be a lot of little cards in there that you missed this payment and that payment and whatever. Other than that, I can't think of a single person, not a single person, that would miss you. Because if you're living according to this, if you're really walking in holiness and righteousness, the Word of God says that you have marked or set aside those who walk not according to the Word, and you have nothing to do with them. Nothing, not a thing. You have nothing to do with them. You don't fellowship with them anymore. I don't care if it's your mama or daddy or your brother or sister. You don't have anything to do with them anymore. Tell me it's not in there. It's there. You just don't want to obey that part of it. But if you're going to live in righteousness and holiness, you're going to obey it all. So say you have obeyed it all and you've done all that and you've walked away from all those people, then they're not going to miss you either. The very, very, very few that you did have left, that you did still fellowship with, they came with you. They came with you to be with Jesus. So they're not reporting you missing. The police department's not exactly getting flooded with calls that you're gone. If anything, the old lady next door might call the city and complain because you haven't cut your grass. That'd be about as far as it goes, and you and I both know it. See, because there's something that's happened there, you have forgotten your first love. You have forgotten the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said the love of many have waxed cold. Now that wording there, it waxed cold means to go degree by degree, very, very slowly. It's waxing cold, and it's going down so slowly that nobody's hardly even noticing it. In fact, nobody is noticing it until it's totally gone. The love is totally gone. I had a guy the other day say, well, you know, the word of the Lord said the apostasy has to come first. And I thought to myself, my God in heaven, man, where have you got your head in the sand someplace? The word apostasy means falling away. Now, the Word of God said that the great apostasy, the falling away, has to come first. Now, Jesus told us it would come because he said they gathered around them a large number of teachers saying what their itching ears want to say. I love this part. They gather around them a large number of teachers saying what their itching ears want to hear. Go to a Benny Hinn meeting. They're normally booked 4 or 5 days in advance. A Kenneth Copeland meeting. Like I said, Benny Hinn. Good Lord, there's so many of them that I honestly forget their names. There's probably 50 or 60 of them. And they will say what their itching ears want to hear, because they will tell them people, if you buy my tapes, if you buy my books, if you come to my meetings, if you come up here and write me a check for $2,000, you're going to get it back 200-fold. You're going to become rich. You're going to become famous. You're going to become good-looking. Ain't nobody going to make you good-looking. That's impossible. On and on and on and on and on. And people want to hear that. They want to be famous. They want to be rich. They want to be powerful. Why? I don't know. You ain't going nowhere. But they want it. They want it badly. Elvis wanted it badly. Elvis wanted to be popular. Famous, a lot of money. What did he turn into? A extremely fat, dead dope addict. How happy you suppose he is tonight? Oh, I'm pretty sure I could get most of you if I just went through the leaders of the rock and roll bands in the last 10, 20 years, every one of them has died from a narcotics overdose, piece of meat stuck in their throat, like they needed another piece of meat stuck, all manner of things, and suicide, and trying to fly out their four-story window, and on and on and on. How happy are they today? I'm talking about people 30, 35, 40 years old. What a way to live. What a way to die. The devil really got them. And today, they're in hell. And they can hear the music of hell today, because a lot of it is their music. But there were those at this wedding banquet who had a real walk with God. They had real faith. They had a real prayer life. They had a personal walk with God. They lived in a constant state of revival within themselves. They lived within a constant state of repentance within themselves. And they lived in holiness. The word of the Lord says that the apostasy shall come, the great falling away. Millions and millions have have fallen away. And they have went to every screwball type of doctrine you can think of. I can't come up with anything that is so bizarre you wouldn't believe me, that isn't in fact true, and people are falling for it, and not by the hundreds, but by the hundreds of thousands. Schools of the prophets. I love that one. Only God can call a prophet until recently. Several guys have got together now and they have schools of the prophets. It costs you a small fortune to go, but when you're finished, they lay hands on you and you're a prophet from that moment on. Now, how many would be that stupid? Well, I tell you how many are that stupid. It takes about 10 weeks to book yourself in a place to sit down. It's that packed out. That many people going. Choreographed dancing. Prophecy on demand. The whole thing. But they're there. The word of the Lord said that judgment shall come upon the house of God. God shall judge his house. God has already judged his house. You'd have to be blind and stupid and have your head in the ground to miss what's going on. If you haven't seen Jimmy Swaggart and Larry Lee and good Lord, I forget all the names, the guy that got sick because he was laying over all the prayer requests at night, and we're supposed to believe that. And then the guy that had the thing in his ear where the wife was broadcasting the names to him. God, not the devil, God allowed every one of them to get caught. The homosexuals, the lesbianism, all of that going on in the house that bears his name. Why? I've said it before, because we're not looking for the last days, we're looking at the last days. These are the last days. It's over with. I don't know what it would take. I don't know what God would have to do to get it across to everybody that it's over with. Yesterday we wound up with Elijah up on the mountain, and he kept sending his servant up to see if he could find a storm cloud, and finally the servant came back and he said, "Master, I see one about the size of a man's hand." And Elijah said, "Go and tell the king to get ready and to ride as fast as he can that he doesn't get soaked from this downpour, from one little cloud the size of a man's hand." And the king took off because he knew this prophet. This prophet had just killed 850 of the false prophets. So he took off for Jezreel. But Elijah picked up his clothes and he tucked them into his belt and he took off running. And he outran the king and his horses and his people and his soldiers. He outran them all. He ran to town in the power of God. And I wonder how many of you today, I wonder how many of you right now, right this moment, can hear the thundercloud of the Lord. How many of you last night, honestly, listened?
And now some previews from Pastor Bernier's next program.
But the land itself, the area itself, is just unbelievable. They had this tent set up out in the middle of the jungle, and they had an electric, one electric cord running out, and only God knows how far that cord ran. I don't know. I never did see the end of it. And on my end of it, where I was standing up there, they had like a 50 or a 60 watt light bulb. And it ran so far, it had all it could do to get power to this 50 or 60 watt light bulb. Needless to say, there was no microphone. You had to scream. You had to scream really loud for everybody to hear you. Fortunately, God gave me a good loud voice and everybody could hear me. And we held meetings down there. I think we were there for about 2.5 months. And they got snakes down there about half the size of this box right here. I mean, we're talking like this big around. Constrictor type snakes. I don't know what their names are. But I am, as I've said before, I am just scared of snakes. I don't want to be nowhere around snakes. They scare me. I don't like snakes and I don't like spiders. And every night that we were there, all I had was that little 50 watt bulb over my head. And for a stage, what they had done is got a bunch of pallets. And they set those pallets up all over. And every night I would walk around and I would hold my Bible and I would look down through the slats in them pallets to make sure that there were none of them snakes down there that were going to come up and get me any minute. I was that afraid of them. Sometimes I was so afraid of those snakes, I could not concentrate on what God was saying to me. And one night, about the third or fourth night, I had been watching down there and looking for them snakes, and I walked behind the pulpit, and the Lord spoke to me. I love it when God speaks to me. And God said, the next time you look down there for a snake, I'll have one come up behind you and wrap right around your leg. Now, you want to pay attention to me or look for snakes? From that night on, I never looked for another snake. I put my trust back in God. And we had a lot of miracles down there. There were so many beautiful things that took place, but one of the things that happened is, I don't know if you're familiar with the Rastafarians. They've got the real long hair and it's all in the real tight curls, you know, come way down to their shoulders or below. And basically, if they even so much as think about becoming a Christian, about accepting Christianity, to them, that is a death sentence. They're dead. That's a no-no. You don't go from being a Rastafarian to being a Christian. That just doesn't happen. Anyway, as I was standing up there preaching, and at the end of the place where they had the chairs there, then they had a little dirt street, and on the other side of that was this little clapboard wooden house, and on the front porch there was a bunch of the Rastafarians sitting out there. And I began to notice that every night they would get there earlier. And every night, they would stay later. And this went on through all the time that we were there. The last night of the crusade, the very last night of the crusade, I was just finishing up and I was giving the altar call and I said, I'm not going to beg anybody, but I am going to give you a chance. Those who want to go, and be with Jesus and spend eternity in heaven, you can come right now. For the Word of God says, you confess me before men and I will confess you before my Father. If you want to come right now and you want to ask Jesus Christ into your life, I will pray with you and Jesus will confess you before the Father, and the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit will move into your life. But I went back and I put my head down and I began to pray. And nobody could have been more surprised than I was, but I heard this commotion, I heard this noise, and I picked up my head to look and to see what was happening. And as I looked, those Rastafarians had left their front porch, and they were walking across the street, and they were coming up towards the altar. And I thought to myself, Lord, this is decision time. They're either going to come up here and try and kill me, or in fact, you've done a miracle, and you have penetrated, to my knowledge, the first Rastafarians I've ever seen getting saved. Because I had never heard of it, and I had never seen it before. And I just stood there and waited. And sure enough, every single one of them walked up. And when they got there, they kind of stopped and they made a little path and they waited for the biggest one. And I thought, well, this doesn't look all that good. But the biggest one came up the middle and he reached out my hand and I reached out my hand to shake his and he reached out the other one. And I mean, his hands were so big, they just buried mine. They disappeared in his hands. I'll never forget his words. I'll never forget them. The man was holding my hands, and there was tears coming out of his eyes. He was just crying, and he said, "We heard you, man. We heard you, man. We heard you, man." And he turned around and walked away, and the tears were just rolling out of his eyes. And I thought to myself, You didn't hear from man. You heard from God. But you'd never understand that tonight, so there's no sense in going into it with you. But I knew they had not heard from me. But I knew that God had spoken to them every night that I had been there.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and we ask you to tune in again next time for the alarm call. Remember, if you would like to contact us for prayer requests, or if you just need someone to talk to, you can reach us on the World Wide Web at www.intothelight.org. You can also send us traditional mail at Post Office Box 1523 in Hollister, Missouri, 65673. Please have a wonderful day, and may God be with you in all that you do.